Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. It is Thursday, January the 28th. As I tell you every day, it's great to be here with you. Pull up a chair, make yourself at home. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I really hope you'll be able to join me and stick around for the entire time. We're going to talk about trusting Jesus. I think that, look, let's be honest. At one time or another, most of us, maybe not you, but I have a feeling most of us have struggled with trusting Jesus. You know, we've talked in the past couple of days, we talked about ask and you shall receive. Well, I'm asking, I'm not receiving. Or this has gone on for too long. This problem has gone on for too long. Where are you, Lord? How come you're not there for me? You told me that with you, all things are possible. But yet, I'm trying this and I'm failing. You know, we could go on and on. But it's possible, it's probable, I should say, that all of us, at one point or another, have struggled to trust Jesus. And more importantly, and this sounds wrong, it really does, more importantly, believed that he wasn't telling us the truth, or that he lied, or that he exaggerated. Like, I mean, this business of faith and walking with the Lord is not easy. It's, you got to trust. And in order for you to grow in trust, Jesus has to put you through some stuff. He's got to send the storm your way. He's got to make you realize you can't do this on your own. He's got to make it look bleak so you can step out and trust him. And while you're doing it, it doesn't feel really good. It doesn't feel good at all. But when you, as you go through it, and as you depend, as you learn to depend more on the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, your trust grows. Now, I've talked about trust not being a feeling, and it's not. Trust is a decision. So I should have phrased that as your feeling of trust grows, and it does. Your confidence in Christ grows. But in order for that to happen, you have to make it through the tough times. So look, I don't know if what I'm going to say will benefit you in any way today. I hope it will. I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. All I can tell you is that I didn't used to trust Jesus. And I've made the decision to trust him now, to trust him with my finances, to trust him with my career, to trust him with my family, to trust him with my life. I have made that decision. And I believe that he never told a lie. And I know that sounds crazy when we're talking about Jesus, but I believe that what he says, as recorded in the Bible, is 100% true. And he said a lot of things. He made a lot of promises, and we could easily question some of those promises. What I'm going to recommend to you today as we talk about this is that you do question him. If you think that he has not been honest with you, if you think that he has not held up his end of the bargain, if you think that he said something that wasn't true, I'm going to suggest you talk to him about it. Don't try to suppress it. Don't force yourself to believe. Because the thing about a relationship with Jesus is that honesty is crucial. Otherwise, you're going to get nowhere. And I mean, I guess you could say that that's the case with any relationship. I have to be honest with the other person. Otherwise, we won't, our relationship won't grow. But let's admit that sometimes you have to hold back with people. You don't have to lie to them. But sometimes you can't say exactly what's on your mind because the fact that we're human will cause us to take offense at what somebody says. But with Jesus, you really don't have to hold back. He loves you with an unconditional love. He knows what you're thinking. I mean, how many times did we see that in the Bible where somebody was thinking some things about him and he called them on it? He brought it up. So he can read our thoughts. It's not like we're fooling him. If we're annoyed by something he did or is doing, we should let him know and give him a chance to change our hearts. And we'll talk more about it after the prayer, but that's how I found he works more often than not. When you demand that circumstances change, when you give him an ultimatum, and you say, you either fix this, and I've done that, you either fix this or I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm not trusting you anymore. I'm walking away. And believe it or not, I've done that. And I'll share more with you, but what I found is that he's not going to give in and give you what you want just because you're screaming and making a lot of noise and threatening him. He's going to do what's best for you, no matter what you say, no matter how angry you get at him. And here's the problem. When he operates like that, if you're like me, it's going to make you even angrier. But then what I have found is when you have that discussion with him, and I'm talking a lot more now than I planned to, but we do it now, we do it after the prayer. It still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's one way or the other. But this is on my mind, so I just want to say this, and then we'll pray. What I found is that often, more often than not, what he'll do is just change your heart, so that even though the circumstances might be the same, and you're not as frustrated with him, because you start to see things differently. But let's pray before I say too much more, and then we'll talk about it, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I want to talk to you today, since we are going to be talking about trusting you. Now, Lord, sometimes we speak on this program, most of the times we speak to your Father, which is what you told us to do. But I want to talk directly to you, Lord, today. I know you're listening. I know you're with us. And before I say anything else, I just want to thank you for being with us. Lord, the whole idea of you leaving the comfort of heaven to come down to earth, to live among us, to suffer, to deal with the inconveniences of being human, to die on the cross, all of that gives us an idea of how much you love us. Because you didn't have to do any of that. Lord, thank you for all that you have done and for all that you continue to do. You are reserving a place in heaven for us, and we thank you for that. You are leading us to the Father, and we thank you for that. And you're redeeming us. You're making it possible for us, sinners, to enter into heaven when our life on earth is over. So, Lord, I want to thank you for all that. I want to thank you for all that you have gone through, the pain that you experienced, the humiliation, the rejection, all of the sin where people like me turned their backs on you time and time again. I'm sorry for all that, Lord. And we pray that we can make it up to you. We pray that we can allow ourselves to be transformed by the Holy Spirit into your image, so that when people see us, hear us, and watch what we do, they're going to see you and be drawn closer to our Heavenly Father. I know it's a big job, but I know with you, Lord, it's possible. And that's why you give us your Holy Spirit, so that we can be transformed. Typically in a gradual manner, but transformed into your image. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. I ask you to send your Spirit down upon us today. Please give me the words for the show. Let me know what you want me to say. And please, through your Spirit, open our minds and hearts to hear and respond to your message. Jesus, I ask for these things in your name and through the intercession of your Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. Thank you for praying. And as I said at the start, since we're going to be talking about Jesus today, I figured I'd address the opening prayer to him. That's perfectly fine. That's good. Because when you pray to Jesus, you actually do pray to the Father through him as well. But I like to pray to the Father, and Jesus wants to draw us closer to the Father. And you'll hear a lot of talk about God the Father on this show, because for many years, I didn't know him. Even when I started to know Jesus, I didn't know the Father. I kind of forgot about the Father. And that's common. Many of us, once we start to get to know Jesus, we forget or we don't pursue getting to know God. But that's not what Jesus wants. He wants to lead us to the Father. So you stick with Jesus and he will lead you to the Father. But anyway, we prayed to Jesus today. I'm so excited to be here with you. I just love when we can hang out. It's been a busy day for me. I did a lot of writing today. And I think I told you this. I haven't talked about it too much on social media, but I am finishing my third book since the pandemic started. So I've done back-to-back-to-back books. I have a deadline of February 1st. I'm working to get it done. I think I'm going to make it. I would appreciate your prayers as I continue finishing up this project. And then I have another book deadline, which is January the 1st. So I'm going to get a little bit of a breather now, which is great. That way I can focus on all that needs to be done for Give Up Worry for Lent 2021, which is going to kick off in less than 3 weeks. So if you haven't got yourself a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, please do so. Followingthetruth.com is the best place to go to pick up the book and to get ready and to sign up for my daily email reflection. So what we're going to do is, if you have the book, and you know, you don't absolutely positively need the book, but I think it'll help you. Together, we're going to try to give up some control. Give up control to God through Jesus and let him take over. You know, we're going to stop trying to control him and let him lead the way. That's the purpose of Give Up Worry for Lent. I will talk more about it, but I'm going to be supplementing. Now, the book has a daily reflection and a Bible verse every day. I'm going to supplement it with some writing in my daily email. So sign up for that at followingthetruth.com. And also, I'm going to talk about it on the show here. So you will get some additional information. I think that's good. I always like these books when I read, or maybe like a song. Somebody writes a song and talks about the meaning behind it. Well, what I'm going to try to do is give you some behind-the-scenes information, some additional info about what I wrote in Give Up Worry for Lent. Maybe tell you where I was at, if I remember, when I wrote the book, what I was thinking of, what was in my mind, what I was trying to get across. And there were times when the book was written 2 years ago, there were times, things that I now see slightly differently, and I might be able to fill in some of the blanks and let you know where I'm at today, because I'll tell you, this pandemic has really taught me a lot. It's really taught me a lot about trusting and getting closer to God. So I'll be able to share some of that with you. But the main thing to do is go to followingthetruth.com. The books are still in stock. They're doing very well once again. We've sold out for the past 2 years. And praise God for that. I mean, that's fantastic. But looking at the sales numbers, I'm seeing the same pattern that I've seen for the last 2 years. And right before Lent, the sales really seem to ramp up. And the book really, really starts selling. So if you want to get a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, now is the time to do it. So what you do is go to followingthetruth.com and find out more information there, as well as signing up for the newsletter. All right, so this idea of trusting Jesus, where did this come from? Well, as I've talked to you in the past, what I try to do normally is look at the daily Mass readings and get something. I ask the Holy Spirit, what should I talk about today? And something stood out from the first reading. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it was from the letter to the Hebrews. And in the letter to the Hebrews, the author talks about he who made the promise is trustworthy. You know, talking about Jesus, that he is trustworthy. And it just registered with me. And I thought, well, let's talk about this, because I like to use this show as an opportunity to talk to you about your relationship with God and deal with the struggles that come up, things that get in the way. We talk a lot about anxiety and hopelessness and not feeling anything, because these are all things I have experienced and continue to experience. And I now understand them better than I did. So I just try to share what I've gone through with you. Because what can happen if we're not careful? Oh, gosh. We're not careful. What can happen if we're not careful is we'll start to think that, well, I'm not having any feelings for God. I don't really feel like I know Jesus today. For some reason, I don't feel his presence, you know. Or I receive him in communion and I don't feel anything. And we'll sometimes take those feelings or lack of feelings and conclude that something's wrong. I must therefore be doing something wrong. I should be trusting him more. I should be less afraid. I should be feeling something when I pray. I should be feeling something when I receive him in Holy Communion, you know. And we could sometimes conclude that our lack of feeling is proof that we're doing something wrong. But in reality, oftentimes what it is, I mean, it could be that we're doing something wrong, but a lot of times what it is just the Lord removing some feelings from us so that we trust him more, so that we learn to walk in faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. So I believe that there are times that we're going to run into these struggles. I've ran into them all. And when it comes to trusting, this is a big one. It's easy to get frustrated because of something you read in the Bible, maybe a promise that Jesus made. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Or, I have overcome the world. I'm bigger than your problems. Or, with God, all things are possible. Or, ask and you will receive. You know, you hear these things, and sometimes you say, well, no, I'm asking, I'm not receiving. I'm coming to you, Lord, and I'm not feeling any rest. You promised me a room, a mansion in heaven. I don't believe it. How do I know? You know, that's the danger sometimes. How do I know? How do I know whether I should believe you, Lord? I don't feel anything. Maybe you're not telling the truth. You said if I ask, I'll receive. And I know we talked about this for the past couple of days, but it bears repeating. Yeah, but he never said what you receive. He never said when you would receive it. But sometimes we twist his words. I've done it. You said my Father in heaven will provide for my needs. Well, he's not. And then as you get more into it, and I've had this discussion with the Lord, I call it a discussion, I'm going to call it an argument, because it was an argument. I was yelling at him. I remember being in the car yelling at him, saying, what are you talking about? I need money. I have to pay my bills. What are you doing? And really what happened, and it took a long time for this to get resolved, I gradually started to realize that he was giving me what I needed, but not what I wanted. And there's a difference. And now, and I am not perfect when it comes to this. We're going to all be working at this, on this for the rest of our lives. It just is the case. And it's a good thing. We all should be growing closer to the Lord, understanding more every day. But what I have learned is that any of us who are alive right now can't possibly accuse Jesus of lying when he said his Father would provide for our needs. Because we're alive. He's obviously providing for us. And, you know, we could look at people who are living in extreme poverty, people who are struggling to find food every day, and we might not fully understand why that's a good thing. Or why that he's allowing it to happen. It could be because he wants us. He wants to give us a chance to help them. You know, I've heard it said there's plenty of food in the world. It's just that people have to share. Maybe he wants us to help them out. Maybe they're closer to him than we are. I've heard stories of people who have literally nothing. I think somebody was telling me a few years ago about they had a chance to work with some people in Africa, and they said these people have the greatest relationship with God, and they literally have nothing. So it's hard for somebody like me to understand that. Because I look at people living in poverty and I think, oh my gosh, that's terrible. How is that? How could I ever survive like that? And yet they could be looking at me. And in fact, that's what I heard it said, that they sometimes look at Americans and they feel sorry for us because we're so materialistic. So, I mean, you could look at things differently. The point is, I've had it out with Jesus on a number of occasions. And I've yelled at him. I know it sounds wrong, but look, you're never going to grow in your relationship with him unless you learn to be honest with him. You will never grow in your relationship with him unless you learn to be honest and tell him the truth. The problem with us is that we often treat Jesus as we do one another, and we're afraid. We're afraid to talk to him in an honest way. We're afraid to say, Lord, I don't trust you. We're afraid to say, Lord, I don't think you're telling me the truth. You're never going to get that question answered or get that problem resolved unless you have that conversation. So I'm going to recommend that you do that today. Now, listen, you don't have to yell too much at him because I don't want him coming back to me and saying, why are you sending all these people to me yelling at me? You know, I'm just kidding. Just tell him what's on your mind. And in my daily email reflection, I wrote, I had a priest, a good priest who was a spiritual director of mine. He was a good friend. And he used to tell me, Gary, tell the Lord what's on your mind. He can take it. He said, he's got big shoulders. He can take it. And I think that's what we really need to remember. He's not going to hold it against you. He loves you with an unconditional love. That means you don't earn his love. He died on the cross for the very people who were putting him to death. And while he was hanging on the cross, I mean, try to imagine what that took, all the pain and agony he was going through. While he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave them a pass while he was dying and in incredible pain. And this is the Savior who we're dealing with. So he's certainly not going to hold it against you if you accuse him of not telling the truth. He does tell the truth. But we're all going to go through that period, might be short, might be longer, where we don't trust him, where we want him, we want to see some results, right? Have you ever done that? Like, okay, Lord, here's the deal. This is what I need. And then sometimes he still will not come through. Sometimes. And it gets even more frustrating because whatever we're asking for might not be good for us. He's not going to give it to us just to shut us up. But he will change your heart. So bring it to him. Tell him what you're struggling with. Be honest. Tell him you want to trust him more. Tell him you want to know how much he loves you. Tell him you want to follow him. But he's not making it easy. Go ahead and tell him that. Because you know why? Because sometimes he doesn't make it easy. He makes it difficult. Because he wants us to grow in faith. This is a different kind of relationship than you have with other human beings. It's got its similarities, but it's got its differences. You know, your relationship with Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they're different. That relationship is different than with your spouse, with your friend, or with your children. Because you don't see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You don't see them in the flesh. And yet you're asked to have a personal relationship with them. And you can, because they're people. But you got to think outside the box. I was going to say a little, but actually a lot. But once you start doing it, things do fall into place. So that's my advice for you today. If you're having a hard time with something Jesus has done, Or if you don't believe him, just tell him and see what happens. Just give him a chance to work on your heart. You know, don't box him into a corner, because you might only make yourself more frustrated. I remember one time I was so frustrated about finances. So this was several years ago. And it's been an ongoing struggle. Being in full-time ministry, that's the way it is. But I yelled at him in the car. And I said, this is it. If you don't have somebody give a donation today so I can pay my bills, I'm not talking to you tomorrow, or something silly like that. And nothing happened. And the next day I came back. I was still a little angry. I said, all right, I'm even more mad now because I'm here and I can't leave you. And you're the best deal going. Like, it's like when Jesus asked Peter in John's gospel, are you going to leave me too? After all the people walked away from him, he said, where can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And that's what I believe too. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He's your best friend. You're not going to find a better friend. But he's going to drive you crazy sometimes. Have that conversation with him, okay? And I think you will feel better. All right, I'm going to get ready to run here. It was great spending some time with you today. Please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com with any questions. Know that I'm praying for you every day. I keep you in my prayers. I would ask you to please pray for me in return. And I'm going to put out a special request today. If you've been on the fence about donating to my ministry, today would be a really good day to do it. I'm just going to say that right now, today, is I'm struggling today with the finances are really... I got some potential things that might come up in the future, but right now it's a tough time. So if you're able to become a monthly donor or possibly make a one-time donation, if you can, I'm not asking you to put yourself in any financial jeopardy, but if you like the work that I do and you'd like to see this, my full-time ministry continue, today would be that great day to make that decision. I could really use it. And the way you would do that is by going to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. It'll take you to the PayPal page where you can donate securely through PayPal, either to become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation. Okay, could you consider doing that for me? I would really appreciate it. Hey, you know, I think you're fantastic. Thank you so much for all that you do and have done for me through the years. I look forward to being back with you here again tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have a great night. God bless you. See you next time.